Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's get back to this gospel text. It certainly is a challenging one, isn't it? Do you ever struggle to make sense out of what Jesus says sometimes in the Gospels? I mean, we all have our favorite passages, ones that give us comfort or encouragement. But then we have passages like today that we just don't know what to make sense of. We sort of scratch our heads and say, huh. Or maybe we wonder, why in the world did Jesus say that? That doesn't even sound like him. In this case, Jesus, bring division? Didn't you come to bring peace? Didn't the angels sing over the shepherds at your birth, good news and peace to all on earth? Well, first of all, I want to remind all of us that when we read the Bible, we can't always read it literally. The only way we can faithfully understand Scripture is when we look at it in its context. When we understand all the multifaceted parts of the context in which a passage was originally written. So for example, in Leviticus 19, God's people are commanded not to wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. How many of you are following this commandment today? I don't think any of us. But if we were to take that literally, we would have to get rid of most of the clothes in our dressers and our closets. Or what about when Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, if we read this literally, I don't think any of us would have either eye or either hand. And so I don't think that Jesus meant for his original hearers or for us to cut out our eyes and cut off our hands. What I'm really getting at here is that in order to faithfully understand what Jesus was trying to communicate, both then and now, we have to understand the context in which he was speaking. And then secondly, when we hear or read Scripture, in order to understand what is truly being communicated, we have to read it through the lens of God's character. And we know that God is merciful, that God is faithful and just, that God is good, and God is love. And so for today's gospel lesson, we read it through the lens of Jesus. And Jesus is God, which means Jesus is merciful, and Jesus is good and just, and Jesus is love. And so when we put on the lens of Jesus to read these verses, it actually kind of makes us question what Jesus is saying, because these words feel quite contradictory to who we know Jesus to be. Jesus doesn't want us to hate our family members. Jesus is love, and earlier Jesus calls us to love all people, to love others as ourselves. So let's dig a little deeper, because there's something else that Jesus is trying to tell us here. Because of the context, we know that Jesus is speaking about discipleship. He's speaking about the life of faith that we are called to live. And what Jesus is trying to say in this passage, he's passionately saying that a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their lives. Jesus was communicating that faithful discipleship, faithfulness to God, means that we love God even more than we love those who are closest to us. That we love God even more than we love our family. And ultimately, that we love God even more than we love our lives. Also, in context, in first century Palestine, the time that Jesus lived, to hate was not an emotion word. Rather, it speaks to loyalty and faith. So in this context, when Jesus says hate, it actually means to regard less. So Jesus is saying that we are to regard our family less than we regard God. Jesus is saying that we are to regard God more than our family, more than everything. What Jesus is doing is he is using contrast to make a very strong point about the life of faith that we are to live. We are to love God with our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Jesus was emphasizing how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their lives. In our baptism, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in our baptism, we get the call to follow Jesus fully and completely with all of who we are. This is the kind of discipleship that Jesus talks about in the Gospels, and it's the kind of discipleship that he continues to call us to today. We don't just dip our toes in the waters of baptism, following Jesus just a little bit. We are buried with Christ in the water, completely. We die to sin and to death and to ourselves and our own selfish desires. And when we die in those waters of baptism, God raises us to new life and begins to transform all of us. The call to follow Jesus is not a partial call. We don't just follow Jesus when we want to, or when it makes sense, or when it's convenient, or even when it's easy. That's not what we are called to. Christ calls us to follow him completely with all of who we are and in every area of our lives. And when we do, it will affect every area of our lives, including our relationships, like Jesus talks about today. Because when we follow Jesus completely and fully, God transforms our values and our priorities and our goals and our behaviors. When we follow Jesus fully and completely, it changes our patterns of thinking and our patterns of behaving. And that will directly affect our relationships, especially those closest to us. And sometimes when we change and when we are transformed, it changes those relationships, not always in a positive way, because it can often disrupt the peace in those relationships. It can alter the equilibrium. It will upset the status quo. And it has the potential to bring division. I mean, think about it. It happened in Jesus' own family. Early in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is healing people. He's out preaching and teaching. And what happens? His family comes to get him and take him home because they think that he has lost his mind. Jesus was so faithfully committed to following God and to bringing about God's reign of peace and justice and mercy on earth that his own family thought he had gone crazy. Following God completely and fully will affect our relationships. Jesus does not sugarcoat his words about what the life of discipleship will look like. And the truth is, he never once promised us that following him would be easy or convenient or comfortable. Doesn't he call us to take up our cross and follow him? Jesus himself endured great trials and hostility and conflict and suffering beyond imagination, ultimately enduring death on a cross. And he was willing to do this because his faithfulness to God was the most important thing in his life. Jesus shows us perfectly what it looks like to love God more than we love our family. And Jesus perfectly shows us what it looks like to love God more than life itself. Sisters and brothers, may this be true for us. May our faithfulness to God be the most important thing in our lives. Because in the waters of baptism, Jesus calls us to follow him completely with all of who we are and with all that we have. Amen.